Ariel or Ariel in the Hebrew name, but it's a Hebrew name, and it has more than one translation. Haral in the Egyptian manuscripts, as well as the Hebrew manuscripts, means the altar hearth of God. And of course, Erash-e is lion, so it can be the lion of God, which actually Ar also can be city. So today, as we utilize it from the 29th chapter of Isaiah, it means the city of God, Jerusalem, but it also means the hearth of God. And I think let's think on that a moment. What is a hearth? Well, many of you've got a fireplace, it's got a hearth. A hearth in a furnace, which God's altar is in a sense, for he's a consuming fire, where he renders and refines people's acts, such as whether it be of gold, silver, brass, wood, or straw. So the hearth is the stone on which the precious ore is laid to separate the true gold, the real thing, from that that's fake. So within this meaning, you have the sayings of Christ as well as Paul and others about testing God's children as by fire, okay, your deeds. So we see within this, Ariel is God's return, and what this is going to be today is about his reclaiming Jerusalem and Lebanon, okay, bringing them back into the fold. But what they experienced just prior to that, which you're in that time now. Prophecy is a beautiful thing when you look at it. And so I want you to open your mind in this prophecy and understand we're talking about the city of God, Jerusalem, the one that David named Jerusalem when it was named Jebus, because the Jebusites had formed it an unclean birth, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 16, but yet God's favorite place in the universe, not just earth, the universe. And the place he intends to set up his eternal home when we go into the eons of time called by most heaven. Okay? So open your minds to the prophecies within this chapter, because it will change subjects on you or have more than one meaning. And we will call on those as we go by. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29 reads verse 1, "Woe to Ariel, the city which David, where David dwelt," where he lived. "Add ye year to year, and let them kill sacrifices." You let time go on over and over, and let those holy days come to pass, and keep celebrating them. But what God's letting you know, sooner or later, time's running out. Going to be time for a little change. So, and this is what, you know, God utilizes this. And, you know, if they're killing sacrifices, what are they doing? They're worshiping God, supposedly. I mean, they're talking religion here, okay? He said, you just keep it up year after year and let her go there. Well, look at Jerusalem down through the years. The wars, rumors of wars, anxieties. Verse 2, "Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel." Now here you have to pick up on the dual meaning. In other words, let me just reread that and translate it for you, what God is saying here, okay? "Yet I will distress Jerusalem, the city of God, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as the hearth of my furnace," the hearth of my altar. You know, I'm going to do some refining there. I'm going to pour the cup of wrath out. I'm going to straighten some people out. I'm going to get their attention. That's what he's... Go ahead, year after year, keep on paying your sacrifices to me, but make sure they align with God's word. That's what he's saying and meaning. Verse 3, and I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. It means I'm going to conquer you, that geographical location. I'm going to take it over. I'm going to do it in. That is to say, as far as that is bad is concerned. Here's where weak-minded people say, that scares me, that frightens me. Well, God's not angry at you. He's not talking to you here. He's talking to those that play church, those that like to play sacrifice, and yet they don't mean it, and they don't... David, I've got a little bit of a ring. Can you give me a little adjustment there? Those that play church and that just simply don't get around to serving God with their hearts, to mean it, okay, to take it seriously, to love Him, not be afraid of Him. He's not angry at you when you try, when you love Him. You don't have one iota of fear that you should have aligned to His fire, even though it be a consuming fire for some. To you, it's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? All it does is gently warms your heart, your mind, and leads you. That's all you have to fear from God. But if you're wicked, then watch out. Bernie, Bernie, okay? That's what he's talking about here. I'm gonna change some things, okay? For those that just keep burning sacrifices given to me, buying their way out, so forth, okay? Verse 4, and thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit. Out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. It's going to twitter, peep, 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 peep. Nice religious things. You're going to be lower in a snake's belly. That's what he's saying. Let me just put it in good old Arkansas language. He said, you're going to be one sad sack because I'm bringing it down on you, and you're going to be ashamed. And one that speaks with the familiar spirit, do you know what that is? That's demonics. Letting evil spirits enter into your family and around it, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and you allow it? When God has given you power over Satan and all of his operations, his little buddies, and you don't take advantage of it, you just let them romp? Well, they're just watching us do sacrifices. Or are they? Well, you're supposed to take charge. Be can-do type people. Don't put up with stuff. Yes, but Christians are supposed to be forgiving. Not to Satan. Who taught you that kind of stuff? You're forgiving to your loved ones, to your family, and people that are trying to do better. But you don't show kindness to Satan. He'll eat you alive. Okay? So beware familiar spirits. They're kind of trying to come back into the world today. And watch that whispering. You know? There's nothing hidden from God. And when they, especially if they whisper out of the dust. Okay? That's kind of like when somebody's supposed to go back to dust, you want to talk to them? Of course not. You know, not from the dust, you don't. Verse 5, moreover, the multitude of thy strangers, translate that enemies, okay? The multitude of thine enemies shall be like small dust, like blowing dust. There's going to be that many of them. And the multitude of the terrible ones, the tyrants, shall be as chaff that passeth away, yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. The word instant here is petah, and it means the wink of an eye. That should bring another scripture to mind to you. It should bring to mind 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, what happens at the wink of an eye, that we are changed. He said, it's going to end. There is a moment fixed in time. That this is going to change. And I have every intention of changing it. He's forewarning you. I'm going to do it. And you don't have to worry. Even if your enemies are as thick as the dust, do you think that God isn't in control? You're a servant. What are you worried about? It doesn't matter how thick they are. It doesn't matter how many of them there are. We have the power. And that power is the authority that God has invested in us to control our lives, to be in charge of ourselves, lives, and to conquer that is evil, whereby you stand above it. You don't have to worry about it. You're basically immune to it. You have been inoculated with an inoculation that prohibits anything negative scorching you. That inoculation is called the Holy Spirit. And as long as you follow the Holy Spirit and take as it is written in St. John chapter 14, that he will remind you or call to mind your memory all these things if they get in your way. You'll know. Your unction will be to know when to stiffen your back and to straighten things out, okay? That's the way our Father operates. He has an instant in time, a blink of an eye. That's what pathos in the Hebrew tongue means, like a wink, just that quick. It's going to happen. Too late to change minds then, my friend. Got it? Okay. But again, you don't have anything to worry about. He's your Father. And fathers do not hurt children that are obedient, all right? Or correct them, I should say. Verse 6, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. Have you ever wondered about those seven thunders in the book of Revelation? They're coming. And great noise and storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. And that devouring fire is our Father. So what are you worried about? If you say you're worried about God, then I feel sorry for you. You just don't understand his love toward you when you serve him. He's not going to let something bother you. He's going to take care of it that you can't. He expects you to stomp little ants yourself that you can take care of, okay? Don't let them get in your sugar, okay? And you'll do fine. But what you can't take care of, he'll take care of it for you, okay? That is, if you love him, that's up to you. You can play church all you want to, but leave his word out of the equation and allow familiar spirits to bring strange doctrines into your mind, and you're a lost soul. God will cut you off like he didn't want you. You know something? He wouldn't. Verse 7, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Israel, and here we have to translate it Jerusalem, okay, or Israel even, if you would, and even all that fight against her and her munitions and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. All it's going to amount to is going to seem like all of her enemies is like it was a bad dream. Right. God's going to take care of business. He's going to clean house. Don't ever waste your time worrying or being frightened of what the future brings. You have the promises. You have the guarantee in the Son that he loves you and he will take care of you. And that's just exactly the way you should treat the fear in your heart of the consuming fire. It's just a bad dream to those that don't love God. That's the way it's going to be, and it'll be worse than a bad dream to them, quite frankly. Verse 8, listen carefully. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul, that's his nephesh, his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul, his nephesh, hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, giving it the geographical location. Did you note something there? That their soul, when they wake up from all this sacrifice and listening to the whispers, their soul's empty. There's nothing there. They have no debt. They're a sheep gone astray, and they have not the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. They have not that power and authority that He brings you, that He gives you. So, just empty. But did you notice it said they do have an appetite? The second time, when they wake up, they have an appetite. Are you able to solve that? Can you help that just a little bit? Have you got a little morsel of truth that you might assist them with, that you might help them just a little bit with? Because they're going to wake up hungry and wonder, what happened? How was I misled? Why would I listen to the sayings of men and little whispers, you know, like on the internet and stuff like that? You know, the internet can be used if you have a good mind. But if you get on and listen to garbage in, garbage out, you turn into garbage yourself. I mean, do you believe in documenting what someone says? Or do you, well, I saw it in print. Oh, well, great. Isn't that something? You know, let me sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Let me give you a free trip ticket to hell. Okay, because that's where those things lead to. You have to document everything. Do you know what happens if you pass on garbage that you haven't documented? You're one of those that speak with an unfamiliar spirit. How do you think God feels towards you? If you're passing out undocumented garbage to Christians trying to steal their soul, you're a spiritual murderer in God's eyes. That's pretty serious stuff, my friend. Make sure that what you pass out, what you teach others, that you've documented in the Word of God, that you're doing His will. No more, no less. In the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Period. That's all. And we go with verse 9. Stay yourselves. I mean, hang on. Stay yourselves in wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. How many people do you just walk up in average, of not necessarily belonging to your church or of your faith, but you just walk up to on the street and start talking Bible with them? What do they know? I mean, I'm talking about this generation, okay, and many past as far as that's concerned. But they are in a stupor. And who put the stupor there? Verse 18. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath He covered. He's blinded them. In a sense, in that blindness comes innocency as far as worshiping Antichrist, which is we're about to get to here. As long as they're ignorant of the fact. But you see, once you see the truth and you return back to the other, it's like a dog going back to his vomit, is the way Paul puts it. Or is it Peter? Whichever. Okay. New Testament teaching. Or maybe I better correct it and say like an old sow returning to her wallow after you get her cleaned up and put a ribbon on her. You know, that's what it's like. Okay. Stay with your Father's Word. It's so simple. Again, a child can understand it. It's a matter of discipline in your mind, of taking, being the captain of your ship, and your ship is your body, okay, and mind. Verse 11, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And naturally, you know, let's take the book of Revelations, which unlocks all of God's word. It is sealed. It is sealed to some. But there are some that have... Who opens the seals for man? Okay. Chapter 6...